days he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, You may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, Your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee.
Thank you. We're now going to sit today, and next week we're going on to something different. And last week we learned that Jesus was travelling north. He was going from Judea up to Galilee, and he decided to go the direct route through Samaria. There's the map, and there's Judea where he was, and he'd been in Jerusalem for the Passover. He was heading up north to Galilee, and he went through Samaria, and he met a lady at the well, and we heard about that last week. John pointed out in our reading that Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. And yet, when Jesus did get back to Galilee, Nazareth is in Galilee. Sometimes Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth. That's where he came from. But it was different. He got back to his home area, his home county, and we read these words. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. It was unusual, but it was great. And last week was unusual as well, because Jewish people often avoided the whole area of Samaria. And the people of Samaria did not get on with the Jewish people. But Jesus went through Samaria, he met a lady, he then met many more people, and he ended up staying 2 days, which really surprised his disciples. And so why were these people attracted to Jesus? Why were these people in Galilee, in his home area? The next verse, verse 46 that we read, said, because they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had been there. They had travelled right down to Jerusalem for the Passover. The Lord had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they had observed him and all that he did when they were there. Why did the Samaritans in last week's passage want him and recognise him and ask him to stay? We read last week, they declared, we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. The words Jesus spoke, the things Jesus did, convinced them that he was the saviour of the world. Indeed, that he is still the saviour of the world and can be our personal saviour. How do we convince people that he is the saviour? It's difficult sometimes, isn't it? How many times have we said, I just know what Jesus has done for me. Try him and you'll be blessed as well. But of course, that depends on the people looking at us and thinking, well, do I want what they've got? It's a challenge to our lives. I wonder, the people, when they looked at the Lord, saw that he was the Saviour. I wonder, when the people look at us, do they see something of the Saviour in us? They should, shouldn't they? And they can be blessed as well. It's a challenge to us. We then read, Jesus was now in Galilee. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. Jesus was now up in Galilee. This was Cana, where he had turned the water into wine, the first miracle. And about 20 miles away in Capernaum, there was somebody else. And that man is described as a royal official. We said, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. I don't know exactly who he was, but he was probably a high-ranking person, a high-ranking official working for Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the son of the Herod that was alive when Jesus was born. And so in the household of the Herod, there were many officials, many people working, and this man presumably had high standing, and he was described as a royal official working for the Herod. But he got a problem. His son was seriously ill. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I imagine this royal official would have people that would help him and do things for him when they needed doing. But here we are, this man had a dire need. He'd got a son who was close to death, seriously ill. And so this royal official hurries 20 miles, perhaps a two-day journey, to go and seek out the Lord Jesus that he knew about. Don't know how he'd known about him, but he obviously knew about the Lord Jesus and he knew of his power. And no doubt, when the others wondered where he was going, whether he told them or not, I don't know, he just took leave and off he went to travel those 20 miles. Ignoring what people might say, ignoring all the questions, just to come to Jesus because he wanted help. You know, when we come to Jesus, we need to do just that as well. We need to ignore what others might think, ignore what others might say, swallow our pride and realize that we just need Jesus. We can't do anything about our sin ourselves. We can't earn eternal life ourselves. We just need him as our Saviour. And just like that royal official coming to Jesus, the only person that could help him, we come to Jesus when we trust him as our Saviour. We just commit ourselves to him and accept his salvation. Something unusual happened when that man did arrive and he did find Jesus there in Cana. Jesus made this statement, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." Do you remember that after the Passover, or at the time of the Passover, people had come to Jesus to follow him and to see him doing miracles? And Jesus knew they weren't serious. Jesus knew they were only there because they wanted to see him do wonderful things. He knew their trust in him was false. It wasn't genuine. It wasn't from the heart. And the Lord could see the heart, and he knew. And Jesus perhaps was reminding people that he knows when we're serious and when we come to him seriously. And so he makes this accusation here. But it didn't put the official off, did it? Because we read, the royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." It appears he'd got this genuine faith in what the Lord could do. And it was real belief in Jesus, real trust in Jesus. And he was desperate for Jesus to leave Cana and go the 20 miles home with him to save his son. And that's exactly the same level of faith and commitment and trust that we need to display when we come to Jesus. We might not understand everything. We might not have all our questions answered. We just know that we're sinners. We need forgiveness. We need Jesus as our Saviour. And we come to him to save us from a lost eternity. And that man believed like that. He believed Jesus could heal his son. And he was desperate for Jesus to stop what he was doing, leave Cana, and go home with him to Capernaum. But Jesus didn't. Jesus just spoke to him. And he said, "You may go, your son will live." Another miracle. Jesus was 20 miles away, but he could heal that man's son at that distance. That was not difficult for God, not difficult for God's son, not difficult for the Saviour. But there was possibly a difficulty. I wonder if the man had difficulty with that. He was thinking, "Oh, he's not coming. He's not going to see my son. Could he have really healed him? He hasn't even looked at him." It could have been that that was quite tough for that royal official. But he believed Jesus' words. And we're told exactly that. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He had faith and trust in the Lord Jesus that it was true. So the man set out on his 2-day journey. No smartphone to just check out what's happening at home. Is his son still in bed, or is he up, fit and well again? He plods home. Well, I expect he hurried home on his 2-day journey. Faith is all about believing. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He knew if Jesus said something, it was true. And so it is today. When Jesus says something, it is true. And when later on in John's Gospel, we're not going this far because we're finishing our series today, later on in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, Jesus could say this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's true. There isn't any other way to come to Christ, to come for salvation. Christ is the only way. And that's what we believe That's what we trust when we put our faith in him. So the man's on his journey. He stopped overnight, and the next day he still hasn't got home. He's still traveling, and the account continues. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." He had been healed at the seventh hour on the previous day. The day starts at 6 a.m. And so if you add 7 to that, 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And that was the exact time the man had been talking with Jesus. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." Wow. A remote miracle. 20 miles distant, his son had been healed. That man would have been so grateful that he'd left work, ignored all that people might say, and gone personally to see the Saviour so that his son could be healed. What would he do now? He was obviously very grateful, you can imagine that. Going back to work and to his usual duties, would he just say, "Well, that was wonderful. I'll have to tell a few people about that," and carry on with his life? He didn't. He did more than that. He and his whole household believed. It transformed his life. It transformed his household's life because they all saw the power of the Son of God. Now they all believed in him. They realized he was the Messiah. He was God's son. He was the Savior. And they put their trust in him. Might have been a bit difficult. He might have been the odd one out in Herod's court, working there as the royal official. Maybe he would be sneered at or made fun of because he believed this Jesus of Nazareth. It didn't matter. The important thing was he knew. And he knew Jesus was the Saviour, and he'd put his trust in him. And it rippled through to his whole household. And that's what it's like for us when we come to Christ, when we come to the Lord Jesus. We must put aside all the thoughts of what others might say, what others might comment, all the fears and concerns. Our salvation is personal. If we don't come to Christ ourselves, we can't get other people to do it for us. We need to just commit him, and we won't be disappointed. Like this man, he was thrilled, and his belief and following of the Lord Jesus really got endorsed. And we, if we do that, we won't be disappointed. The Bible tells us he'll never leave us or forsake us. The Bible tells us his grace is sufficient for us. We will have problems. We do have problems. What problems at the moment? His grace, his help is sufficient for us. The man had been desperate. He realized there was only one way for it to be solved, and he committed himself to Jesus. And we're in a desperate situation if we haven't got Christ as our Saviour. We're going to a lost eternity. We need our sin forgiven. We need the assurance of spending eternity with him. We know that Jesus paid the price for us. We've remembered him and worshipped him. And we need to thank him for that and commit ourselves to him, forgetting our pride and all those things, and just come to him and trusting him for eternal life. And when we've done that, we need to live for him so that others can see and taste and see that the Lord's good by looking at us in our lives. May we trust him for ourselves with the same commitment as that royal official, and may we live for him so that others can see something of Christ in us. Amen. It's an understatement to say that that royal official was thankful, but I'm sure he was so thankful. And this song number